We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Stylists recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair to dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
So keto, paleo, raw food, slow carb, no carb, yes carb, and I think there's also a cleanse. We're going to try them all.
Wow.
Yep, we're going all fresh this new year.
So you're at the store getting fresh groceries every day then?
Actually, no. With Walmart, you can get fresh groceries delivered same day. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Are you allowed to even have lemons?
I honestly don't know.
Use code DELIVERY to get three free deliveries on groceries. Walmart. Save money, live better. $50 minimum. Offer expires March 31st, 2020. Offer available in select areas.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G. $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
All right, you got another chance to win $1,000 right now. Text the word OCEAN, O-C-E-A-N. Text OCEAN to the number 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000. Again, your 4 o'clock cash code word is OCEAN. Text OCEAN, O-C-E-A-N to 72881 for your chance to win a grand with 92.9. Your next word's coming up tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. with Golic and Wingo. But right now, you got plenty of time. Text the word OCEAN, O-C-E-A-N, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm speaking to you from 54th and Broadway, Theater District, New York City. Bennett Doyle producing a program back in Memphis. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions. Ready to just plop down in front of your television and watch basketball all night, because that's my plan. Now, to be clear, that's my plan because it's my job. I don't really have a choice. I'm paid to do it tonight. But even if I did have a choice, tonight I'd choose basketball because this is a great night for basketball. The Grizzlies are on the road on TV. The Tigers are on the road on TV. And Zion Williamson is going to play his first regular season game of his NBA career. Fun night on tap. We'll get into all of it momentarily. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Joe Mullinex is going to join me. He's site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I'll talk Grizz with him in advance of tonight's game with the Boston Celtics. Joe Mullinex will be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them big fight in college basketball last night. Kansas and Kansas State got into it. Ugly scene. Talk about that around 444. Georgia lost to Kentucky last night, but stayed in the top 75 of the net ranking, so that's good for Penny Hardaway's Tigers. I'll explain why a little later on this hour. Speaking of Tigers, the currently unranked LSU Tigers are alone atop the SEC standings after last night's win over Florida. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And a college basketball coach who had one of the best moments of this season earlier in the season was fired last night. That's a wild turn of events. We'll talk nothing but college basketball during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, I usually have Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. Today I'm going to have Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian in advance of tonight's game at Tulsa. Drew Hill will be here at 5 o'clock. Then I'll eventually do Dinner to Go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with basketball, because today's show is going to largely be a basketball show, because tonight is all about basketball on television, because the Tigers and Grizzlies are both on the road. You know, I'm at a point where, and we've talked about this before, I prefer sports on television instead of sports in person. I like going to sport events with my children, with my family. Like, we took the entire family to FedEx Forum last Friday night. That was fun. I enjoy those experiences as quality family time. But left up to me alone, I would rather just watch sports on TV at my home than be in any stadium or arena in the world. So my favorite days aren't days when the Grizz and Tigers are both at home. Like, people talk about those all the time. Got a doubleheader at FedEx Forum. Tigers in the morning, Grizzlies at night, or however it works. Those aren't my favorite days. My favorite days are actually the days when the Grizzlies and Tigers are both on the road. So then we all sit at home together, watch on TV, and play around on Twitter. And that is the case tonight. Plus, we also get Zion's debut. So this should be an incredible night of hoop. Well, let me walk you through the schedule so you can plan accordingly. At 6:30, Grizzlies at Celtics will tip off. At 8 o'clock, Tigers at Tulsa will tip off. And then at 8:30, Zion's debut against the San Antonio Spurs will tip off. So you're going to need a multi-screen experience however you go about doing it. All three games, by the way, matter to Memphis. Obviously, one involves the Grizzlies. That matters to Memphis. One involves the Tigers. That matters to Memphis. And then one involves two teams the Grizz are competing with for a playoff spot. That is the Pelicans and the Spurs. Bennett Doyle, question time.
All right.
If you could only watch one of these games tonight, you only got one screen, there's no way to get around it, and you're not allowed to change the channel. You can only commit to watching one of these tonight. Which one would you watch?
I think I would watch the Tigers in Tulsa. And the reason why is because I think that the outcome of that game is going to be extremely telling about what the Tigers are.
I think I agree with you, and not necessarily for the same reasons, because whatever I think of the Tigers right now, I will still probably think of the Tigers tomorrow, whether they win the game by three or lose the game by three. The only thing that would make you really nothing would make me freak out. This is a challenging road game. We watch teams all the time lose as, you know, 3.5-4 point favorites. That's about what Memphis is going to be tonight. So I don't know that I'll change what I think about Memphis based on what happens tonight, but it will affect their net ranking. It will affect their resume. It will affect their national ranking in the AP poll and coaches poll in the CBS Sports top 25 and one, one way or another, whether they win or lose. Simply put, my reasoning would be, the college basketball schedule is much shorter than the NBA schedule. That by definition, then the games mean more. Whether the Grizzlies win this game or not tonight, or whether Zion is amazing, it has no massive impact on resume, on playoff standings, on anything. It's just one of 82. Whereas the Tigers is a much smaller schedule that they play. The games mean more, and so that's why I do think. I'm with you. If I could only watch one, it'd probably be Memphis-Tulsa. But I do think the other games are compelling, and we'll walk through each of them. Let's just go through the storylines for each game, and we'll start with the Tigers. So it's 8 o'clock, number 20 Memphis at Tulsa. Tigers enter 14-3. They're 3-1 in the American. Tulsa, a bit of surprise. 12-6 overall, 4-1 in the American. Now, if you look at the computer numbers, Tulsa really is about what it was supposed to be, but the record is better than I think most people would have assumed it would be at this point in the season. The Tigers are 3.5-point favorites tonight. Tulsa is on a 3-game winning streak, and they actually beat Houston two Saturdays ago. So if Houston is some people's favorite to win the AAC, well, Tulsa already owns a victory over that team. It's why Memphis is in a tough situation tonight. Tulsa, number 85 in the net. And that's important because it's just outside of the top 75, which means that this is a road game against a sub-75 team. This will either be a quad 2 win or a quad 2 loss in real time for the Tigers. Right now, Memphis is 3-3 in quad 1/quad 2 opportunities. So the Tigers will either move above 500 or below 500 in quad 1/quad 2 opportunities after tonight's game. So that's why it's important. You know, it affects the team sheet that people like me look at when we're ranking teams, like the selection committee will look at when they are seeding teams or selecting teams for the NCAA tournament. So where your wins come and against whom really do matter. I believe more so than ever because of the quadrant system. So let the record show in real time tonight, Memphis will be playing a quadrant two game. If you win it, it's a Q2 win. If you lose it, it's a Q2 loss. If you win it, you remain above 500. You go above 500 in quadrant 1/quadrant 2 opportunities. If you lose it, you fall below 500 in quadrant 1/quadrant 2 opportunities. And another reason that's important, most of the teams that are ranked right now are not below 500 in quadrant 1/quadrant 2 opportunities. So if you want Memphis to hold on to its national ranking, not saying they have to win this game tonight, but certainly if they don't win this game tonight, the national ranking will be in real jeopardy for the first time this season. The other storyline connected to it, can Penny's good run of winning games he's supposed to win continue? He's 12-1, as we talked about last week, as a favorite this season, which is a remarkable record when you consider that Hall of Fame coaches are across the board worse than that. Duke has lost 3 games as favorite. Kansas has lost 3 games as a favorite. Kentucky has lost 3 games as a favorite. Michigan State has lost 4 games as a favorite. Syracuse has lost 4 games as a favorite. North Carolina has lost 6 games as a favorite. Memphis has only lost 1. 6 Hall of Fame coaches I just named. Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self, John Calipari, Tom Izzo, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams. They've all lost at least 3 times as a favorite this season. Penny Hardaway at Memphis has only lost 1 time as a favorite this season. Can he continue that? Because not only is he 12-1 as a favorite this season, he's 32-2 as a favorite in his college coaching career. So he's been really good in these spots, but we talked about this last week. One of the losses as a favorite, and it was his first loss as a favorite, it was in this same building at Tulsa last season. So that's the storyline connected to Memphis-Tulsa. Fun game, interesting game, tips off at 8 o'clock. 6:30, so 90 minutes earlier, that's when Grizz-Celtics tip off. Celtics are 7-point favorites. They're 4th in the West right now, just beat the Lakers by 32, led by Kemba Walker. So we get a Ja Morant-Kemba Walker matchup, which should be fun. If you're looking at the Western Conference standings right now, the Grizzlies are 14 games out of first. That's good enough for 8th in the West. The Spurs are a half game behind them, and the Pelicans are 3.5 games behind the Grizzlies. So the only way the Grizz can ensure they'll be alone in 8th tomorrow morning is to win tonight in Boston, because if they lose tonight in Boston and the Spurs win tonight in New Orleans, then the Grizzlies will fall out of the 8th spot in the West. Not the biggest deal in the world. This stuff is fluid. They would still just be a half game behind the Spurs, and they could make it up pretty quickly, but they would fall out of the top 8 in the Western Conference with a loss tonight if the Spurs also beat the Pelicans tonight. So let's go to that game. 8:30, Spurs at Pelicans, and that's going to be the biggest basketball game on the schedule, and not just college game, I mean, not just NBA game, but college game, high school game, does not matter. Nothing bigger than Spurs at Pelicans. Not because it's Spurs-Pelicans, but because it's Zion Williamson's much-anticipated debut, the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft. It's on ESPN, and it actually bumped Nuggets-Rockets off of ESPN. The executives at ESPN made that decision, and I know it probably didn't please Nuggets fans or Rockets fans or James Harden, the soon-to-be 3-time scoring champ, but NBA ratings are down, and if you're in the business of television and you've got an opportunity to put something that's going to register big on, then even if you have to adjust the schedule and hurt some feelings, you adjust the schedule and hurt some feelings. Zion will get a big number tonight, just like he consistently did at Duke. And so, no surprise, once the Pelicans confirmed Zion's debut was going to be on January 22nd against the Spurs, then ESPN pretty quickly decided we are going to broadcast Spurs at Pelicans on January 22nd. Spurs, like I said, are a half games back of the Grizz right now. Pelicans are 12th in the West right now, 3.5 games back of the Grizz. So here's a question for you. Who should Grizzlies fans be rooting for in this game? Right now, the Spurs are closer to you, and this is why I asked the question. The Spurs are closer to you, so on a very surface level, you root for the team, you root against the team that's closest to you. But the computer models all have the Pelicans flying by both the Spurs and Grizzlies and also the Blazers, who are in the in contention for this final playoff spot. The 538 blog right now has the Pelicans finishing 40-42, alone in eighth in the West, with the Blazers 3 games back of that, and the Spurs and Grizz both 6 games back of that. So who do you root for, the team that's closest to you right now, or the team that the computers say is eventually probably going to pass you?
I think you actually root for the Pelicans, and the reason being is because I think you play them next week. And that's going to obviously be kind of fresh on the Grizzlies' mind. They just got destroyed at home on one of their biggest games of the season by the Pelicans. So I think in the immediate present, you want to go for the Pelicans to win, just because you've got that game next week.
I think I'll agree with you again, but for different reasons. I do understand that the computer models prefer the Pelicans in this playoff race. And so if you're trying to get the computers more in line, if you're a Grizzlies fan, with what you want, then every Pelicans loss is a good loss for you. Go Spurs. But the computers are often wrong, and they have perhaps overvalued what the Pelicans have been or will be. And so I'm just going to trust like what is actually happening, and what is actually happening is the Spurs, coached by Greg Popovich, they're closer to you. They're more of a threat in this moment to you making the playoffs than the Pelicans are. And who knows what's going to happen with Zion? Like, some of these projections are based on him being there the rest of this season. Well, what if he's just not, for the same reasons he's missed a lot of time in the past year of his basketball career? So I'm more interested in if the Grizzlies take a totally reasonable loss in Boston tonight, and then the Pelicans handle business at home against the Spurs, well, then you still stay a half game up on the Spurs, even if the Pelicans get a game closer to you. So I'd say go Pelicans over Spurs, but also, in addition to everything I just said, because I want to see Zion be awesome. I know Jeff was talking last week about how, you know, as Grizzlies fans, people should start hating the Pelicans because they look like they could be your biggest rival in the West, at least in theory, going forward. But I just find them I don't know that I find them unhateable, but I don't personally hate them. I love New Orleans as a city. That is a small market franchise in a impoverished city, not unlike the Grizzlies. And then, like, what? I don't know how you could root against Zion Williamson. Like, he's awesome and he's fun. And if you like awesome and fun and generational talents, like, why wouldn't you want that guy to be awesome and fun and generational? And maybe he and Ja can, be two of the biggest stars in the world going forward. And how awesome would that be if two of the biggest stars in the world going forward were Southern basketball players playing in Southern small markets, because that's what we would have with Zion starring for the Pelicans and Ja Morant starring for the Grizzlies. So I don't root against the Pelicans. Perhaps I'll get there one day if the Pelicans eliminate the Grizzlies in 6 games in the Western Conference Finals, but I don't think I'm there right now. One last thing I want to get to before we get to Joe Mullinex is that there's a Yahoo story that's been circulating for a while, but it's getting more attention today because it is Zion Williamson's debut coming tonight. In fact, I saw Colin Cowherd talking about it earlier today on FS1. And that's a Western Conference general manager was anonymously quoted in Yahoo Sports as saying that in real time, leading into the 2019 NBA draft, that he would have selected Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. Not based on what we know now. That's not the quote. Based on what we knew then, this general manager says he would have taken Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. Do you buy that at all?
I don't think I buy it. No. Just because I don't think you can't do that for the PR purposes, right, at the time.
I don't think you could do it from a public relations perspective. I don't think you could do it from a business perspective. That's the biggest reason. And by the way, and I'm with you, I don't buy it at all either. It sounds like revisionist history to me. Like, where was this quote leading into the draft?
Right, because that would have been splattered all over everything, all the draft coverage.
Yeah, NBA reporters don't just talk to front office executives after the draft or in January. They're all talking to them all the time, including in the weeks leading up to the draft. If there was really a general manager out there who was willing to publicly say, I would take John Morant over Zion Williamson, then where was that quote then? I looked at every mock draft. I did them myself. I read all the reports. I don't remember a single executive quoted anonymously or on the record saying that they would take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson
right.
in real time.
And don't get it twisted. I'd rather have Ja right now, but I'm saying at the time, I don't buy it.
That's a totally reasonable opinion and but also a different conversation. Like,
sure.
Based on what we know on January 22nd, 2019, and what we know is this, Ja Morant is amazing, and Zion Williamson is still very heavy and you know, coming off of knee injury. Based on what we know now, I think you could have a real interesting conversation about if you could redraft it right now, would Zion go number one again? I'm not so sure. I do believe that some franchises would take him, but I also believe some franchises, and perhaps even most franchises, might lean toward Ja Morant right now, based on what we know, everything we know right now. But I don't remember that leading into the draft. I remember hearing people love Ja Morant. I don't remember hearing anybody saying, I would take him over Zion Williamson, because first and foremost, like, Zion was unlike anything we've ever seen. Highest player efficiency rating in modern history. Absolute unstoppable force at Duke. And by the way, when we saw him in summer league, very briefly, unstoppable. Saw him in preseason, very briefly, unstoppable. I think as long as he's healthy in the NBA, he is going to be amazing. The reason I would maybe lean toward now preferring Ja Morant over Zion Williamson isn't because I don't think Zion Williamson is going to be amazing just like Ja Morant is amazing. It's because I'm skeptical Zion Williamson is going to be healthy enough to be consistently amazing because, you know, I've talked to people in that franchise. He still weighs what he weighs. They were hoping some weight would come off by now, but it just hasn't for whatever reason. He is as heavy as he's ever been. And when I say heavy, I don't mean fat. He's not fat, but he is heavy. He's a heavy thing, carrying around 285 pounds. And I just don't know if you can play the way he plays, move the way he moves, and consistently be healthy at 285 pounds. And if the weight's not coming off now, like, when is it going to come off? Because they have been watching everything with him, or at least trying to monitor everything with him, and that's a concern to me that the weight hasn't come off, that he's not noticeably a different size right now. 285 will not prevent him from being amazing, but it might prevent him from being healthy enough to be amazing consistently. That's at least what we've learned over the past year. So it's a reasonable conversation to have now. But again, leading into the June 2019 NBA draft, I didn't hear anybody saying that, even whispering it. Because here's the thing. Even if you did think Ja was a better prospect, I guess you could, like, if you really had juice with your owner, you could maybe convince him to, let's get this guy. I'm telling you, it is not the popular decision, but it's the right decision. Like, maybe if that person even existed, maybe if you had real juice with your owner, you could maybe get it done, but I doubt it. I mean, drafting Zion over Ja wasn't just about talent on the table by taking Ja Morant over Zion Williamson, regardless of what happens after you take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. Even if Ja Morant turns out to be the better player, in real time, you're leaving possibly hundreds of millions of dollars on the table. Zion Williamson sells season tickets unlike any other person could on the planet. As a rookie, he it puts you on television in ways that, you know, Ja Morant simply could not do. Maybe can going forward, but could not do in real time. And so I just don't think, even if a Western Conference GM actually believed that, I don't think an owner would have allowed a general manager to. And so I just don't think, even if a Western Conference GM actually believed that, I don't think an owner would have allowed a general manager to not select Zion Williamson. And then you got to think, if you're a general manager, even if you believe it, are you willing to do it? Because if you select Zion and then he just isn't healthy or is something of a bust, well then, hey, all you did was the same thing everybody else would have done. But if you pass on Zion and then he becomes amazing, everything everybody hoped he would become, my God, you're the idiot who passed on the most obvious thing in the history of the world. Simply put, I don't buy it. I do accept that maybe there's an NBA Western Conference general manager out there who preferred the talent of Ja Morant to Zion Williamson. I doubt it, but I'm willing to accept the possibility. But the idea that I would have taken Ja Morant over Zion Williamson in real time, no way. I don't believe it for a second. I'll talk to Joe Mullinex about it next.
Coming up on Thursday, Zion's debut, LeBron at MSG, and Superman making a return to the skies in Chicago. All the latest from a big night in the association. Plus, is Dak Prescott taking less money? Would you book it? That and more Thursday on Golic and Wingo.
The Golic and Wingo Morning Show. Weekdays 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality. And when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Hey there. As you're driving right now, take note of the vehicle in front of you. Are you a safe distance behind? Are you approaching too fast? Can you stop in time if a collision is about to happen? There's a lot to keep track of in order to drive safely. That's where the 2020 Chevy Equinox can help you. With automatic emergency braking with forward collision alert, now standard on all 2020 Equinox models. Right now, get the 2020 Chevy Equinox with $3,750 cash allowance. Plus, current competitive owners get an additional $750 cash allowance. Driver is responsible for operating the vehicle in a safe manner at all times. Certain conditions may affect feature performance. See owner's manual for important limitations and information. Excludes L models. Must be a current owner of a 2006 model year or newer non-GM vehicle for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 2/3/2020. See dealer for details. Visit Chuck Hutton Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy dealer.
Are you a man who needs to restock your closet, update your wardrobe, dress properly and impressively for a new job? If so, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that we have one of the best clothing stores in America right here in Memphis. It's James Davis in the Laurel Wood Shopping Center. James Davis, it's where I get all of my suits and shirts for television work with CBS Sports. It's where I shop, and it's where you need to be shopping as well, because James Davis is in the middle of a fall-winter clearance sale. Right now, you can get 50% off to 70% off all fall merchandise. The sale includes a fabulous selection of sports shirts, sweaters, jackets, pants, sport coats, everything priced to move. And I know you've heard me talk about the Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements taken at James Davis. 10 minutes later, you'll have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in 9 days. They start at just $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get a Stant custom fit shirt, you'll never buy off the rack again. And those Paul Bettinelli suits are still 2 for just $7.95. I own 4 of them myself. You deserve nice clothes, so go get them at James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Thomas, Brian Campbell.
Two experienced MMA media pros, albeit two jabronis.
Oh, it is Monday.
Let's go! Jeremy Spoken!
No, but I like Nickelback.
Yeah.
Canada,
yeah.
Son.
All right.
Candid combat dissected.
We break it down like a sweet science.
I educate you donkeys.
No holds barred.
The MMA media is going to lose their mind.
An absolutely crazy hardcore
show. Morning Combat. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. See y'all.
ACV means actual cash value on your trade-in. Don't let the dealership tell you what your ACV is. Let me help at GiveMeTheVIN.com. In 45 seconds, you can have a bid, and it's free insurance from me at GiveMeTheVIN.com. If I don't beat your CarMax offer, I'll send you a check for $100.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
What's in store this week at your local Staples?
Big deals that are kind of a big deal.
That is, if you consider saving over $30 a big deal.
Yeah, I'd say that's a big deal.
Well, right now at Staples, a case of True Red Color printer paper is only $28.99. You save $31.
That's a crazy big deal.
See? I told you. All your office essentials at small prices every day, which is huge if you think about it.
Staples, where there's a whole lot more in store.
In store only ends 1/25/20. Valid on SKU 513-096.
Discover why Audible is the best way to stay informed, inspired, and entertained. Right now, save $50 on your first year of Audible at audible.com. You get to choose any 12 audiobooks, so you can listen to bestsellers and hear leading experts on topics like finance, fitness, relationships, and more. Listening is the new reading, and right now, your first year is just $99.50. That's a $50 savings. But hurry, it ends January 31st. Visit audible.com today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, because all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you make.
In the next segment, then Jeff Calkins, Daily Memphian, he's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is the site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. It's Joe Mullinex. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Joe, we're going to get to Grizzlies and nothing but Grizzlies momentarily. But first things first, Zion Williamson is expected to make his NBA regular season debut tonight in New Orleans against the San Antonio Spurs. And I had Colin Cowherd on earlier today, and one of the things he was talking about is that there was, it is true, a Western Conference general manager anonymously quoted by Yahoo Sports saying that he would have taken Ja Morant over Zion Williamson last June in real time, even before we knew what Ja's doing right now and that Zion would have injury issues at the start of his career. Do you buy that? Do you really think there's anybody who could have, would have pulled the trigger on Ja Morant over Zion Williamson in real time?
I think the key that you said there is anybody that would actually pull the trigger, right? Like, I believe that people sat around the table.
Williamson in real time.
I think the key that you said there is anybody that would actually pull the trigger, right? Like, I believe that people sat around the table. I believe I'd get a hit with you leading up to the draft last year, and I talked about R.J. Barrett. Like, I was hoping that the Grizzlies were sitting at a table and they were talking about Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, what their options were. You go through plan A, plan B, plan C. When you get an asset like the number two overall pick, you talk through how you want to use it. That doesn't mean that Ja Morant doesn't eventually wind up being your number one choice. I think it's the same thing there. Is it possible that they sat down and said, hey, Ja Morant's electric. We really like his game. We think he can do some of this stuff immediately at the NBA level. I think it's possible that that was part of their thought process. But at the same time, you look at what they were eventually going to get with Anthony Davis. You had Lonzo Ball coming into play, Brandon Ingram. You know, the fit with Ja maybe wouldn't be as clean there. And Zion Williamson was literally, and I know you know this, one of the very best college basketball players in terms of single seasons in the last decade or so, maybe even further along than that. So I feel like with the gift of hindsight, you know, you look at how big Zion is, the concern over him and the wear and tear on his body, the elite type of athlete he is, there are not any Zion Williamsons that are that size and can be that freakishly athletic. So I think that, you know, looking at it now and saying, oh, well, Ja Morant is clearly the guy, or I would have taken Ja Morant back in June. I'm not buying it. I feel like that's a conversation maybe you have behind closed doors. Hey, do we like Ja better than Zion? But if they had come out and actually taken Morant instead of Williamson and Zion had fallen to the Grizzlies at two, everybody would have been destroying the Pelicans, and everybody would have been, you know, and the Grizzlies would have scrambled and sprinted up to the stage to take Zion Williamson. So it feels like a little bit of revisionist history to me. But at the same time, that's a credit to Ja Morant and what he's done in his young NBA career to even make that a question that's not so crazy to ask. It
feels like revisionist history to me as well. Because, listen, anonymous GMs and front office executives and scouts are all quoted pre-draft.
I don't remember reading a story talking about anybody saying they's going to take they would take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. So to say it in January after Ja looks like a star and Zion's, you know, got weight issues that leads to knee issues that could impact his career long term, it's already impacted it short term. To say it now, revisionist history. Beyond all that, I think it's true that maybe somewhere, although, again, I didn't read it anywhere, but maybe somewhere there was somebody who worked in a Western Conference organization who said, I'm just telling you, I know we're not going to do it, but I personally would take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. I guess theoretically that person could exist, but the business of basketball would not have allowed any owner to take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. It would, like, even if a general manager believed that and wanted to do it, that's where an owner steps in and you know, with a spreadsheet in front, shows you that we are costing us ourselves perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars by not selecting the star that is Zion Williamson. He sells tickets immediately. He gets you on TV immediately. I just don't think anybody could have taken Ja over Zion because it would have been extremely costly from a strictly financial perspective to take Ja over Zion.
And the fact that this question exists also is a testament to the 24-hour news cycle, right?
Sure.
Like Zion Williamson in Summer League, people were saying he was the second coming of the greatest basketball player to ever live. And, you know, this injury happens and Ja Morant has a successful first half of his NBA season, his first NBA season. And all of a sudden now it's Ja Morant that everybody wants to talk about instead of Zion Williamson. It's a short-term memory kind of thing as well that's indicative of our society. I think both things can be true. I think that Zion Williamson is going to be a star. He may be a shooting star. That's possible, but it doesn't make it any less bright and explosive. It's possible that these things shorten his NBA career. And as you mentioned, in the short term, it already has. But you don't know that. You don't know what's going to happen in the long term. And I know that tonight ESPN's about to pop a rating for having Zion Williamson on that TV screen. And I think it's also possible that Ja Morant's going to be the rookie of the year because he hopefully is going to play a full NBA season regardless of the Grizzlies' postseason destination, if that happens or not. And I think it's possible that both of these guys are going to be really good for a really long time. I don't think that it makes either team right or wrong for taking who they took. You're exactly right, though. If they hadn't taken Zion, they would have been crushed for it. And it's easy 6 months removed or however, 7 months removed to be able to say something like that given the hindsight of history.
Now, I want to be clear. I'm talking to Joe Mullinex from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I think these are two conversations. I do not believe anybody would really take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson last June. But on January 22nd, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I think we both agreed with hesitation we would still take Zion. Given everything we know about Ja, given everything we know about Zion, we would still take Zion if given an opportunity. Where are you at on that now? Because if I'm being honest, I'm not so sure anymore. And it's not because I don't think Zion's going to be amazing when healthy. I think tonight he'll do something amazing. I think while healthy, he will be one of the best basketball players in the world. I just have real concerns. And it's not just because he had to be removed from basketball three times in the calendar year 2019. It's because when I talk to people in that organization, they tell me he still has not lost weight. Whatever he weighed 2 months ago is what he weighs right now. And I'm skeptical that he can have the career from a health perspective that we all want him to have playing at 285 pounds. I think now I might be at a place where if you told me I can have Ja Morant's future or Zion Williamson's future, man, I'd feel not great, but I think I might take Ja's at this point.
I'm definitely not as sure as I was at first either, but I do think just to play devil's advocate, because I land on the side of you, I'm with you on this. Just to be devil's advocate for the sake of good radio, I think somewhere in New Orleans you could have somebody, and there's even people, you know, nationally, and it's made fun of to an extent. But, you know, the way that Ja Morant lands, the way that he falls, the way that he attacks the rim, especially earlier on in the season, it was concerning in terms of how he plays the game as well, and considering his frame and how small he is compared to the way he plays. Now, in fairness to Ja, and this would be my counter to the devil's advocate, he's adjusted that. If you watch the games, like I know you do and I do, and you see how he plays, he's not doing quite what he was doing before. At a time where he might try to jump over Kevin Love a month and a half ago, he's attacking centers at the paint, but then he's doing a layup in front, or he's trying to finger roll, or he's dishing off behind the back to Jaren Jackson Jr. you know, he's thinking better of it, it looks like. So maybe somebody talked to him about, you know, saving yourself. It's a long season. Not every play needs to be a highlight dunk. But I do think you could play both sides of it in terms of frames, in terms of the way they play the game. But I do think long term, you know, John Morant, and again, there's evidence that he's already done it, John Morant can adjust the way he plays. If Zion Williamson doesn't change his body in terms of, and again, it's not like anybody's calling Zion Williamson fat, or at least I'm not, but in terms of just sheer mass that he carries, if he's not able to cut some of that, and given the issues that he's already had, yeah, it makes sense that it could be more of a short-term kind of thing, whereas Ja can, you know, make a nice long career for himself as he learns how to play in the rigors of the NBA schedule.
You make an important point, and I do think that these things need to be distinguished between. Zion Williamson is heavy. He's not fat. He's heavy.
Right.
He weighs a lot, but he's not fat. Like, if you ever stand next to him, and I was going to say I've known him. I don't know him, but I've been around him when he was at the grassroots level, when he was at Duke, and I've stood next to him. I've talked to him. And the first thing you notice is that he is an unusually large human, not just tall, not just big, but he is almost, you feel like you're standing next to, and I don't say this to joke around, it is the thing that pops into your head, like he's the Incredible Hulk, like he's about to burst through his clothes. If he took his shirt off, you wouldn't, he doesn't, he's not fat. He's just like an action figure. And so when people say he's heavy, or when I say he's heavy, I don't want to speak for other people. I mean it literally. He's heavy. He weighs a lot. I think he is the second heaviest basketball player in the NBA right now. And he's only like 6'6". So he carries around a lot of weight. He's not fat, but he is carrying around a lot of weight that doesn't prevent him from being amazing, because he can be amazing at this weight. But I do wonder if it's going to keep him from being amazing consistently for 13 years, because he put on all this weight like senior year of high school, freshman year of college, and it didn't, like, he put on, I think one thing I read last year is between junior year of high school and freshman year of college, he gained 100 pounds. I mean, think about any other human gaining 100 pounds. Like, if you gain 20 pounds, it looks disgusting. And yet, he gained 100, and it didn't stop him from flying and moving the way that he flies and moves, but it did put extra pressure on his lower body. And I think, at least to this moment, he's paid a price for it.
Weight is weight. And I think one of the best ways to kind of acknowledge that is if you follow high school wrestling or college wrestling, and you watch, especially at the high school level, because obviously once you get to college, everybody's a freak. But at the high school level, you go watch a high school wrestling match, and you see a heavyweight match. And oftentimes, it's kids who, you know, the 285, 275, whatever the weight class is, it looks different. But once you get up to the state level, the all-state kids, the state tournament, a 285 state champion wrestler looks a lot different than a 285, you know, kid who's just on the team as a JV player. You know what I mean? Like, there's different types of weight. And I think Zion's the prime example of that. His 285 is unlike maybe any 285 definitely the NBA has ever seen, but maybe even professional sports. I mean, it's hard to find a comp for a guy who's as athletic, as agile, the ability to move and still have that amount of weight. But like we've been talking about, weight is weight. And whether it's fat, muscle, you know, whatever, he still has to carry it. And I do think that's going to be an issue if he's not able to, you know, even 10 pounds. And I know everybody can relate to this.
Sure.
You lose 10 pounds of actual, you know, weight, not just water weight, but, you know, you lose 10 pounds of muscle, you lose pant sizes. You feel so much different and so much better. You know, even if it's 10 pounds of muscle that he loses and he loses a little bit of his strength, I think his knees and his legs, it would just do wonders for him. But, you know, genetically, maybe as, you know, some people have a metabolism that they can't gain weight. Maybe Zion's in the place where it's really hard for him to cut it, even if it's the weight like muscle mass.
It does appear that it's hard for him to cut it, because I know that they've been working with him, and the weight just, for whatever reason, I'm told it just has not come off. It won't stop him from dunking on the Spurs tonight, but, you know, it could prevent him from, again, doing things consistently that we'd all like to see him do. let's go to the Grizzlies. The last time we saw them, they were in FedEx Forum against the Pelicans. Zion was in street clothes on the sideline, and what we watched was New Orleans make 15 three-pointers in the first half, 21 in the game, and hand the Grizzlies their first loss in eight games. Was that a come-back-to-earth moment for these young Grizzlies, or was it, hey, when somebody hits 15 of 28 threes on you in the first half, you're probably going to lose that game?
I think it's a little bit of both, and I don't say that as a cop-out, and we talked about this over on GrizzlyBearBlues.com on our latest episode of GBB Live. You know, some people are calling it a bad loss, and to me, that's frustrating, because when you say it's a bad loss, that means that you're placing expectations on it, and if you're placing expectations on it, then you can no longer say, oh, well, there's no expectations. I'm not expecting anything from them. Well, you expected them to not have bad losses. This team was always going to have bad losses, and it's a long season. As we've been talking about with Zion, you know, take the macro view of a rookie or a young roster that the Grizzlies have. They're going to have stinkers like that, and they're going to play teams that are red hot like that. And it was a perfect storm, unfortunately, on national television, the one TNT game the Grizzlies have right now. It's unfortunate that it happened there, but that's what happened. The Grizzlies, they were picked apart a little bit. I think something that's been understated is how Taylor Jenkins, the rookie head coach, was not able to match Alvin Gentry in terms of, you know, Nicola Melli is a great example of that. There were even Pelicans fans that were surprised that Melli was doing what he was doing. But it was a good matchup against Jonas Valanciunas and then other Grizzlies bigs. They just weren't able to contain him, and it opened up things for everybody else. So it was a perfect storm. But I do think that fans need to keep the perspective, and it's something that I've been yelled at on the blog and on Twitter, and you and I have talked about. If you're free from expectation, then you're not surprised when they lose games like that. And they're going into a challenging one tonight against the Boston Celtics. Like, if you come out of that and they lose by 20, and, oh, it's a bad loss, it's a bad loss. They're in Boston against the Celtics. Like, your perspective of them has changed. Your expectations, even though you stay up and down, you don't have them, they've shifted. And I don't think that's necessarily fair. This team's going to have games where Ja Morant looks lost because he's a rookie. There's going to be times where Jaren Jackson Jr. gets back into foul trouble because he's still that guy that had foul issues at Michigan State 2 years ago. It takes time to develop and get out of bad habits or to learn the game, especially at the professional level. And the winning streak was awesome, and I think we saw the peak of what this team can and potentially will be down the road. But there's going to be valleys in a season like this as well. And to me, that was just a reckoning of that and a reminder of that. And as long as you keep that perception and perspective that it's going to have those highs and lows and ebbs and flows, you'll be able to enjoy this team even when they go into some losing skids, because those are probably still going to come.
I didn't think Monday's loss was a bad loss. I thought it was an unfortunate loss because it's on a big stage, it's against a shorthanded team, and it's a team that you are favored to beat. But if somebody's going to take 48 threes on you and make 44% of them, you're probably going to lose. And so I think it's why the players weren't that despondent afterward. They were almost shrugging their shoulders like, they made 21 threes. What are we going to do? And some of it is poor perimeter. I got it. But, like, if a team's going to make 15 of 28 for you in the first 24 minutes of a game, you're climbing a big uphill thing the rest of the way. And it wasn't surprising that they weren't able to overcome that. You just chalk it up as it's one of those games and you move on. To your point about the Celtics tonight, I mean, the Celtics are the fourth seed in the East right now. They just beat the Lakers by 32. The Grizzlies are 7-point underdogs there for a reason. If you have big expectations about them stealing one tonight, you're setting the bar pretty high. I hope they do. It would be awesome if they do, but that is, you know, usually going to be a loss that your schedule is going to deliver to you no matter when you have to play that game. I'm talking to Joe Mullinex from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. So the game that's going to get the most attention in basketball tonight, not just the NBA, but basketball in general, it is the game we talked about earlier. Spurs at Pelicans, because it's Zion's much-anticipated debut. From a Grizzlies perspective, who should the Grizzlies be rooting for? Right now, the Spurs are only a half game behind the Grizzlies. The Pelicans are further down, but some of the computer models still project the Pelicans to be the biggest threat to the Grizzlies when it comes to, you know, securing a playoff spot. Who do you root for tonight if you're rooting with Grizzlies interest?
If you're rooting with Grizzlies interest, I think that you are pulling for the Pelicans. And the reason I say that is I agree, you're exactly right. The computer models love the Pelicans. They think the Pelicans are going to continue to get better. Obviously, the addition of Zion will be huge. But I've seen Greg Popovich do this for a very long time, as I know you have, and folks that have followed the Grizzlies for a while, of course, have as well. And even beyond that, of course, with even David Robinson and the beginnings of Tim Duncan. I know DeMar DeRozan is a star in the NBA. I know LaMarcus Aldridge has been. I struggle to see them lying down. So I would like to see the Pelicans pull off that win to try to weaken the Spurs a little bit and maybe make them think, okay, let's sell on DeMar. Let's sell on Aldridge. Let's be sellers at the deadline and not try to push this thing. I'm pretty sure if you ask the Lakers, they'd rather see the Pelicans than the Spurs because they're hungry for it, and I think they're definitely going to chase it. If you're a Grizzlies fan, you probably want the Pelicans to knock off the Spurs because the Spurs, I've seen them do it before. And you, if your hope is the playoffs, you want the Spurs to be as far back as possible because they have actually done the winning time kind of plays. The Pelicans are still learning. The Pelicans are in a similar spot to the Grizzlies, to be honest with you. The Spurs are the veterans who know what it takes and have been there before. And that to me makes me want to see the Spurs take the loss tonight and the Pelicans win. That will build momentum for New Orleans, but again, it's a long season, and you want the Spurs to be as far back as humanly possible.
That is Joe Mullinex, site manager of SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live on the SB Nation podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. That's at Joe Mullinex. Thanks, buddy. Terrific as always. I appreciate it.
GP, I appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Joe Mullinex from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. When we come back, ugly scene inside Allen Fieldhouse last night. A real brawl broke out between Kansas and Kansas State in the final second, literally the final second of the game. We'll get into that next. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's the Jeff Calkins Show.
Someone else tweeted this morning, there is no comp for Ja Morant. He is a lightning bolt. The comp, not to humans. They go to physical forces, natural phenomena.
The Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. This is 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist, where my entire family goes to the dentist. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, please look no further than the Smile Center. And did you catch the new address? It's 1941 South Germantown Road. That's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's new address because he joined forces with Dr. Pat Clark's office. But don't worry, the Smile Center is going to continue to provide the same friendly, outstanding dental care you're accustomed to and will now be able to provide additional services such as sedation dentistry. And check this out. The Smile Center is now also offering an annual membership plan for people who do not have dental insurance. For just $250 a year, you're going to receive a comprehensive exam, a full head x-ray, a cavity detection x-ray, a periodic exam, and two annual cleanings. It's a value of right around $530. You can get it for just $250. So if you don't have traditional insurance, you should give the Smile Center a call at 901-309-1333 or on the web, visit them, smilecentermemphis.com.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget Steak Night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the Midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10-ounce filet or 12-ounce and 16-ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On Steak Night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house-made ranch dressing and the twice-baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown at 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown, and find them on the web at BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Plus live music at the Blue Monkey in Midtown on Friday night, Avondale on Saturday, Relentless Breeze.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas or pain or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away.
So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air, here with my sales manager, Derek. Derek, did your granddaddy ever tell you nothing in life is free?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free furnace either. When you think of heating and air, think Best Care. No gimmicks, no hassles. Call us today for a free estimate at 624-1401. That's 624-1401. We are your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air, and a proud partner of the Memphis Tigers.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
There's a lot of famous Joes out there. Heck, there's even a lot of average Joes out there. But in the auto collision repair business, there's no one more famous than Joe Stewart Body Shop. Family owned since 1969 with an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, Joe Stewart specializes in the luxury lines like Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Acura, Honda, but they can make any vehicle shine like new again. And they've been voted a Memphis Most Best Auto Body Collision Repair 7 years running by the Commercial Appeal. Call 901-323-2296 in Memphis or 901-850-0022 in Collierville or visit online at joestewartbodyshop.com.
Hi, Saver. Walgreens here. We like the way you save. Take coffee. You know it doesn't have to cost $4 a cup, so you make your own. And co-pays on Medicare Part D. You save up to $5 and get 100 balanced rewards points on each prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Save smartly on Med D. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Co-pay savings on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Points cannot be earned in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Complete details at walgreens.com/balance.
If you like pina coladas, get on.
Spilled your pina colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain.
If you like pina coladas,
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Bennett Doyle?
It is so smooth you can drink it straight.
It's so smooth you can drink it straight. I promise you, it's what I get when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how foolish it would be to pay nearly twice as much for a different bottle of vodka when New Amsterdam is sitting right there in the liquor store, and it's awesome, and it's available? It'd be so foolish, so don't do that. Just grab a bottle, or if you want to, a case of New Amsterdam vodka, because it's the fastest-growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety, and if you're in a gluten-free diet, for whatever reason, you're on it by choice. You're on it by necessity. It doesn't matter to me. There's a gluten-free New Amsterdam vodka. Buy it. Next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or a liquor store, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Drew Hill covers the University of Memphis men's basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He will be inside the Reynolds Center tonight for Memphis Tulsa. He will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Wild scene inside Allen Fieldhouse last night in the final second of the Kansas-Kansas State game. I'm sure you've seen the video by now. But first, let me give you some backstory, because this is something I haven't heard many people. In fact, I don't think I've heard anybody talk about it other than me, but it's one of the initial things I thought of last night. There was a game earlier in the season between Kansas and Monmouth inside Allen Fieldhouse where Kansas was up big, like by 50 points, and they were just dribbling out the clock. As you often see at the end of the game, there's sort of an understanding, not always, but often, when the game is decided. You know, it's a 12-point game, a 20-point game, a 50-point game, whatever. Game's decided, final second, shot clock's off, and the team that's ahead has the ball. There's sort of an understanding often. We're not going to try to score. You don't try to take the ball from us. The game is over. We're going to dribble out the clock. And you go back to the Monmouth-Kansas game earlier in the season. This guy named George Pappas.
I remember this.
Okay, he sneaks up behind a Kansas player, steals the ball, takes off down the court, transition, dunks it. They obviously, he gets booed like crazy.
Starts screaming.
He starts screaming, I don't give a F. I don't give a F. It was just, it was hilarious.
Awesome.
But also, like, in violation of an unwritten rule. Like, hey, we're not trying to score. You should be trying to take the ball from us, right? So I do think that context is important because I do believe it led to what happened last night. Fast forward to last night. Similar situation. Kansas is up, you know, 21 points, I guess it was. Final second, Silvio De Sousa just dribbling out the clock. And a Kansas State player steals the ball and takes off in transition. And in that moment, I can't prove this, but I believe this, Silvio De Sousa said, there is no way you guys we're letting this happen to us again. Like, yo, you guys are rival. We just beat your brains in, and now you're going to try to pull the Monmouth stuff on us? No way. Because he took off down that court, running as hard as he can run, and he blocked that shot at the buzzer by Kansas State as aggressively as you can block a shot. I mean, he spiked it hard. And the player in transition went down. De Sousa then stood over him in an intimidating manner and looked like he was just going to stand over him forever. And next thing you know, push comes to shove, shove comes to punch, and we've got a brawl in a part of the arena where there are cheerleaders, fans, and yes, disabled people, because that was where some wheelchair fans were actually seating. Luckily, nobody seems to have been seriously hurt, but that's only because of luck. It's not because of anything that happened. De Sousa was throwing punches at Kansas State players. He picked up a stool at one point and was about
to... T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.